Garbe pranite devakya. Rohinim yoga nidraya. Aho vishram shito garbha. Iti pora vichukrushu. Translation, when the child of Devaki was attracted and transferred into the womb of Rohini by Yoga Maya, Devaki seemed to have a miscarriage. Thus, all the inhabitants of the palace loudly lamented, "Alas, Devaki has lost her child." Report by Srila Prabhupada. Quote, "All the inhabitants of the palace," unquote, includes Kamsa. When everyone lamented, Kamsa joined in compassion. He's a soft-hearted man, right? In compassion, thinking that perhaps because of drugs or some other external means, Devaki has undergone this abortion. The real story of what happened after Yogamaya attracted the child of Devaki into the womb of Rohini in the 7th month of Rohini's pregnancy is described as follows in the Hari Vamsha. Here's the real story. At midnight, while Rohini was deeply sleeping, she experienced, as if in a dream, that she had undergone a miscarriage. After some time, when she awoke, she saw that this had indeed happened, and she was in great anxiety. But Yogamaya then informed her, this is like not in a dream, but after she woke up. Yogamaya then informed her, "O auspicious lady, your child is now being replaced. I am attracting a child from the womb of Devaki, and therefore your child will be known as Sankarsana." Unquote. New paragraph. The word yoga nidra is significant. When one is spiritually reconnected through self-realization, one regards his material life as having been like a dream. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 269, ya nisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagarti samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyato munehe. Quote, "What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage." Unquote. The stage of self-realization is called yoga nidra. All material activities appear to be a dream when one is spiritually awakened. Thus, yoga nidra may be explained to be yoga maya. So having heard that, let's go back to the verse, see how that fits in. Garbe pranite devakya rohinim yoga nidraya aho visram sito garbha iti ora vichukrushuhu. Rohinim yoga nidraya, not when the child of Devaki was attracted and transferred into the womb of Rohini by Yogamaya, Devaki seemed to have a miscarriage. Thus all the inhabitants of the palace loudly lamented, "Alas, Devaki has lost her child." Filled with mystery, huh? Kamsa felt compassion. Very mysterious. Kamsa, who was capable of anything wicked, besides what we read in in connection with his willingness to kill his own sister on her wedding day, because there's a voice from the sky, that's not the sign of somebody that has some features of compassion, and that he trusted. How elevated Vasudeva must have been considered in the eyes of the people of his time, particularly Kamsa, that willing to kill his sister, but stopping killing his sister because Vasudeva said, "I give you my word." How strong is the word of a qualified person? That's culture. One of the early trainings in my Krishna consciousness was a man is only as good as his word. Like, you know, that's not like transcendental, but it's something that keeps one sober in Krishna consciousness. You give your word, you keep your word. Be careful what words you give. But if you give your word, whatever it takes, you perform it. Whatever it takes. What to speak of vows, initiation vows, but just and conversation. I'll make sure that this gets taken care of. When you have somebody that is a very trustworthy individual, your mind is at peace. You don't even have to think about it. You may ask them, "How did it go, Prabhu?" And if someone who is trustworthy, just some unforeseen, insurmountable obstacle, they'll try to surmount the insurmountable obstacle. And if for some reason it's truly insurmountable, then they'll go back to the person who they gave their word to and said, "May I get release from you, from the word that I gave you, that this would be taken care of because..." So anyway, Vasudeva had that quality. Superlative quality. So much so, Kamsa said, okay. It was a little calculating, because there were some good reasons why, you know, don't kill your sister, people won't like you. And whatever merit you've accrued, you'll lose it because, you know, it's just so abominable to kill your sister on her wedding day. So just please don't. It's hurtful for yourself. And the thing that you're interested in is the eighth child of Devaki, and I'll give you every one of the children. Trust me. And he did. And then when Vasudeva came and brought the first child, he was so moved that he gave the child back. There's some element of this, you know, it doesn't say a trickle, a tear came down his eye saying, "Oh, you're so honest, please take the child back." But it's not this child that's to kill me, it's the eighth child. But on the advice of his ministers, oh, Krishna is very tricky. He could come as the first child instead of the eighth child, and you better kill all children, not just this one, but anyone. So, yes, yes, kill children. Capable of anything, but somehow this softness. Very curious. And here, oh, my sister had a miscarriage. I mean, he's killed the first six children. Now he's feeling compassion because she had a miscarriage. You would think, hey, I don't have to kill the seventh child. Someone else took care of it. Or maybe it was Devaki herself. She's so distressed. And then later on, when the the eighth child, he tries to kill the eighth child, and it turns out it's Yogamaya transforms herself into Durga and screeches, Kamsa, you fool. Three things. You're a fool. He must get used to being called a fool, because the other voice also said, you are a fool. The child of Devaki will kill you. And this one was, you fool, the child has already been born. You blew it. And don't kill any further children. I order you, or you'll be finished. And then some aberration of behavior, that he felt a little compassion and went to Devaki and apologized. Gee, I'm sorry. I just killed six of your children and tried to kill number eight and didn't work out. And really, I'm sorry. But you know how it is. I'm your brother. You can forgive me. Very curious behavior from Kamsa. But everyone felt the verses saying, the purports confirming, everyone, it says everyone in the house, everyone in the palace, felt that Devaki had a miscarriage. Then the purport is, two other things, the purport is describing what really happened. In her dream. Those of you that are mothers can imagine what this might be like. I can't even imagine what this is like. In a dream, you dream that you had a miscarriage. And you wake up, and sure enough, at least the pregnancy is gone. The embryo isn't there, but there's no, anyway. Discharge, but there's nothing. And then sure enough, their dream was true. She had a miscarriage. But then Yogamaya pacified. No. Wasn't exactly a miscarriage. I just transferred your child elsewhere. At least according to what's stated here. She didn't say where. Yogamaya didn't say where. Just, I've transferred your child elsewhere, and he'll be called, because he's been transferred in this way, he'll be called Sankarshan. So, Devaki knew not only that Krishna was her son, but Balaram was her son. So when Krishna and Balaram came back after so many years in Vrindavan and came back to Mathura and released Vasudeva and Devaki from their interlude, okay, from their prison situation, Devaki knew. Not only Krishna is my son, but Balaram is my son. I haven't read any description of what, how Rohini understood that, whether Balaram was actually Devaki's son transferred to her womb instead. In any case, Balaram was the son of Devaki, and Krishna was the son of Devaki. And the concluding part of the purport is that this term Yoga Nidra, which we normally hear in terms of Mahavishnu, during his Yoga Nidra, or mystic slumber, that's Mahavishnu. During his mystic slumber, he's breathing, and the universes come, and the universes are sustained for some time and withdrawn during his period of Yoga Nidra. But the term is being applied here in this case to Devaki. When the child of Devaki was attracted and transferred into the womb of Rohini by Yogamaya, Devaki seemed to have a miscarriage. All the inhabitants of the palace loudly lamented, "Alas, Devaki has lost her child." So the verse is, "Garbe pranite Devakya Rohinim Yoga Nidraya." So the explanation that Prabhupada is giving, how it applies to, for that matter, could be Rohini as well as Devaki. The material affairs of life for someone who is situated in self-realization is like nighttime. The worldly affairs, that there's a spiritual reality to life. We're engaged, we're embodied. We have a body, gross and subtle. And we're engaging ourselves in service to Krishna using our body and our mind. That's external. It's devotional service, but it's not the essence of devotional service. Just like the nice example of this is the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's very, very deep. Very, very deep. I mean, some of our favorite verses, Lord Chaitanya says it's external. Yad karoshi, yad asnasi, yad jahosi, tadasi yat, sarvadharmam parityaja, mamekam sharanam braja, brahma bhuta prasanatma nasochati. External, it's external, it's external. It doesn't mean that Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita, he's just talking something external. It means that there's an essence of those verses and one needs to capture the essence of those verses. What's the essence of devotional service? Because the question is, what's the goal of life? The goal of life is not behavior modification. We're not the International Society for Behavior Modification Incorporated. We're the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the essence of Krishna Consciousness is this absorption in transcendental realization of our relationship with Krishna. And the devotional service is an exhibition of that. And there's the sadhana where we practice it, but the purpose of the sadhana is to awaken that deeper Krishna consciousness. Like, as Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita here, .241 Bhagavad Gita purport, very nicely expressed, says this. In describing the Vyavasayatmika capacity of one who is fixed in their purpose, their devotional service is fixed because their purpose is one. And when their purpose is one, Prabhupada explains, one need not strive for good results. Doesn't mean like because we're devotees, we don't care if, you know, the arti is on time or the offering is burnt, or, you know, we out of devotion, Were we concerned out of devotion for the outcome of our activities? But the essence is the devotion, not simply the outcome of our activities. It's the difference between external and internal. The difference between night and day. Any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect, even though not finished. The performer of such work is therefore not at a loss, even if his work in Krishna consciousness is incomplete. Oops. Yeah. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is to go back home, back to Godhead, right? Or to enter into our eternal loving relationship with Krishna, or become a pure devotee. Perfection of Krishna consciousness is stated in this purport. Renunciation of the material conception of life. Something like our keynote speaker, Mahatattva Prabhu, was addressing in a different way, but the same point. The essence is not just the behaviors that we do. The essence is entering so fully into the spiritual conception of life that the material conception of life is external. As it's described in Nectar Devotion, the essence of devotional service is not just the behaviors that we do, it's the consciousness behind the behaviors that we do. The essence of Krishna consciousness is not, I mean, many people can ring a bell, light a stick of incense, and move some circles, and say some mantras. That's not the essence of Krishna consciousness. It's not the essence of chanting. It's not the essence. What's the essence? The essence is, there's a little voice inside that says, I want to be again situated in my relationship with Krishna. And that's the essence. And nurturing that essence are the activities, the sadhanas that we perform. But the essence is that spirit of devotion unto Krishna. And at the end of the purport, Prabhupada writes, after many nice things, the whole process, this Bodhi Yoga process, devotional service, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body. Not theoretically, but practically, where there's no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities. We can take up devotional service with the same mentality as a fruitive worker. It's just like, you know, I'm going to get my place or get my sense gratification or get what I want. I just received a letter from someone that says, Maharaj, you're like a desire tree and kalpa vriksha, and I've got this material desire. So please bless me. You know, that's not something new. Hari Suri told this story, especially for the devotees from Dallas, you'll perhaps appreciate. It involves Samal Krishna Maharaj. Prabhupada was traveling once in a train, and the arrangement that they made was that Prabhupada was given a first-class compartment, and there was one devotee with him to make sure that he wasn't interrupted. And that devotee in this case was Samal Krishna Maharaj, like, you know, riding shotgun, making sure nobody disturbed Prabhupada. And then the sannyasis and the other devotees were in other cars, other compartments in the same train. And nobody could get in to see Prabhupada because there was Tamal Krishnamurti at the door making sure that that wouldn't happen. But he had to answer the call of nature, so he went to the bathroom. And when he went to the bathroom, somebody passed by and saw a sannyasi sitting in that compartment. So they came in right in and sat down, and Prabhupada invited them in, and they sat down and they were conversing, and Kamal Krishna Raj came back and, you know, was ready to hustle him out of the compartment. Get out, this is Prabhupada. Don't disturb him. And Prabhupada stopped him and said, oh. And the man said, Swamiji, I've heard about you. You're a very celebrated personality, and I wish that you would give me your blessings. And Prabhupada smiled and said, yes, I'll give you my blessings. And Tamal Krishnamaraj, invite the sannyasis that are down in the other compartments to come here. And they all would stand tall, devotees standing at the door, and the man looking up at them, and he said, my blessing is you become like them. Detached from material enjoyment and fixed in spiritual consciousness, that's my blessing. And the man looked at his watch and said, well, Swamiji, I have to go now. And it's been very nice of you to give your association, and but my family's waiting and I have to go. Everybody burst out laughing, and except the man who felt very uncomfortable and afraid and ashamed. Because that's truly the blessing. Not simply becoming sannyasi versus a qualified householder, but become detached from sense gratification. And the nighttime for the introspective sage is the life of a materialist. So that, Prabhupada is saying here, that's yoga nidra. Not the normal way I'm accustomed to hearing what yoga nidra is, but a spiritual personality or a God-conscious person, their former activities, it's like a bad dream, or even the world that we're moving around in. It's a bad dream. It's a manifestation of the illusory conception of life, where people desire and act upon the desire for enjoyment separate from their real interest. Self-abandonment completely and embracing illusion. So the conclusion in the purport is to see properly where worldly activity is like a bad dream. And the reality is who we really are and what our real happiness is. In devotional service, that's our real happiness. That is yoga maya. That's the internal potency of the Lord. And it's a world of difference. Just like the message in Bhagavad Gita that one person in a factory, like how graphic can you get? In a factory, they're side by side. Two persons are doing exactly the same thing, whatever that thing is, turning a screw or putting something, comes another piece, and just their behaviors are identical. One may be in Krishna consciousness and the other in material consciousness. The yogamaya influences the consciousness behind the activity, and it applies perfectly well to devotional service as well. I can recall in Manhattan when we had our temple in 55th Street, sometimes I would, you know, nice summer weather, right after Mangal Arati, go for a morning walk, nice fresh air, Central Park, because we were very close to Central Park. And I was amazed to see how many people are heading into lower Manhattan, driving their cars, even right through Central Park. But to speak of the other avenues, you know, we're rising early to worship Krishna and chant the holy name, and other people are rising early to, you know, the early bird gets the worm. They're chasing those worms. They're chasing the fruitive results. And probably, you know, get everything done and leave early too. And, you know, because they're the controllers and the so forth people. riding in the back of a big limousine, doing whatever they're doing. Enjoying the prosperity of fruitive work. So whether it's at whatever the level is, there may be very matching activities that devotees do and non-devotees do, with, including the austerities that we may perform. Or even physically, the activities that we do, the essence of Krishna consciousness is that awakening of that dormant voice, quiet voice that says, I want to please Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. I want to be always acting in conscious awareness of my relationship with Krishna once again. And the other activities are enhanced to assist, to support that. Fortunately, there are direct activities in devotional service that are literally non-different from that. We're just like very thick and hard-headed and hard-hearted. It's hard to penetrate when your head and your heart are hard. But the activities themselves, the direct activities, they're non-different. But even those non-different activities, we can do them not in the right consciousness. The essence is awakening that dormant consciousness. So the point of the purport is that Rohini and Devaki, we can say both of them, were in that condition. So there's no big lamentation from Devaki's side. In this case, at least, the seventh child is Balaram. And although she's lost the association of her child, for a mother, that's like very difficult. The encouragement from Rohini, from Yogamaya to Devaki is, your child is safe, under my care. And sure enough, in course of time, she was reunited with her child, by the action of Yogamaya. Last point, then we'll stop, that we have reversals in our devotional service, as this is like, here's Devaki. She's qualified to have Krishna as her son. And six children are killed and one there's just like taken from her womb, even before birth. How inopportune, what misfortune. And any reversals that we may have, how does it compare to that? Yet she's fully under the influence of Yogamaya, fully protected by Yogamaya. So in her case, it took like long, long time, but sure enough, she was reunited with those six sons that were taken from her and reunited again with Krishna and Balaram, because she's under the care of the internal potency. When you're under the care of the internal potency, it's not like you dictate what's good and what's bad and what's fair and what's not fair and what's right and what's not wrong, but not right. You're fully under the shelter of the internal potency, and whatever Krishna wants, that's the program. When we say it differently, same thing differently, when you surrender unto Krishna, please bear in mind that things then become on his terms, not yours. The other way, surrender unto Krishna under your terms, that's not surrender unto Krishna. Surrender unto Krishna is whatever you want, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches. You can embrace me. You can trample me. You can neglect me and leave me brokenhearted. You can do with me whatever you like. That's elevated position, but that's what surrender is. And in that surrendered position, it's varieties of loving exchange only. Because the essence is not lost. The essence is the one thing that would please keep me engaged in your devotional service. unconditionally. That's a high platform, but that's the teaching that Lord Chaitanya is extending to us. It's the invitation that he's extending to us to come to that position of devotional service. And keep your eye on that position of devotional service and hear that voice within your heart that says yes. And then when the circumstances are different than what you'd like it to be, don't whine and complain. It's part of the enhancing of our exclusive shelter in Krishna when the external things aren't going right. It happens. It happens to us. It happens to Devaki, and it can happen to anybody. But in the course of devotional service, that's all right. When we have faith and trust in Krishna, we actually have shelter in Krishna. It's all right. Fortunately, Krishna doesn't put us in such calamity as Devaki was put through, or other great devotees, the Pandavas and Kunti and Draupadi and Prahlad Maharaj, and, you know, phew. But to help us become exclusively sheltered in Krishna, difficulties may be presented. One of my favorite ones is Sanatana Goswami and his journey to spend time with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he traveled exactly. I mean, he was a minister. He was the chief minister of Nawab. He was so skilled. He found out exactly the places where Lord Chaitanya went when he went through the Jarikanda forest, and he went exactly to those places. And in the forest, he found the forest-dwelling people, and, you know, what did Lord Chaitanya do and say? And all, you know, because his life was Lord Chaitanya. Everything, totally his. And then he contracted this illness where his body became filled with yucky, smelly, pussy, oozing sores, wet itches. It smelled bad. And he began to think, what's the use of this body? Because when I go to Puri, Lord Chaitanya is going to want to embrace me, and I'm just going to smear this yucky stuff all over his body. Better to get rid of this body. What's the use of it? It's just a nuisance. It's a disturbance. You know. So you know the whole story. He had his plan. Rath Yatra, under the wheel of the cart, crushed. Give up my life. Before saying anything to anybody, Lord Chaitanya told him, you can't do that. If liberation was as easy, then we'd all jump in front of the cart. And you can't, but your body belongs to me. You can't dispose of it. It's my property. And each thing he did. So I'll leave and go back to Vrindavan. That nonsense, Jagatananda. He can't go and he can't stay. And he can't give up his body. And what to do? There was only one thing left. The very thing that was in the core of his heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shelter. And then he raised him and the whole thing's gone. And Haridas Thakur understood right away. You're so dear to Lord Chaitanya. He personally orchestrated all of this. So your attachment to him would be magnified to the limit. And he just took it away. You're so dear to Lord Chaitanya. He's given so much mercy unto you. Inconceivable. Being very expert, Sanatana Goswami knew what to say. It's actually you who are dear to Lord Chaitanya. Because you're not only expert in your preaching, you're expert in your behavior, you're the most dear to Lord Chaitanya. But so when obstacles and reversals come, it's nice to talk about it in a Bhagavatam class, safely sitting in the temple room. And when obstacles come, the real test of where our shelter is how we, what you, where you, where does your mind go? Where is your shelter when there's this very difficult circumstance? Where's your shelter? Watch and see where your mind goes. So, last, in the whole narration of the Bhrigu testing Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Vishnu, the standard was the measure of greatness of a person can be understood, must be measured, in terms of how they respond to difficult circumstances. Where's your shelter? Where's the seat of your consciousness, and where is it directed towards? So Devaki is being appreciated that she was in yoga nidra. She was totally absorbed in her spiritual position, so much so that the externals were like night, just like a dream. Although it happened apparently in a dream, and she woke up and it happened in fact, it was all an arrangement of yoga maya, thus comforted. We can be comforted when we are aware of the fact that we're, because of taking full shelter in Krishna, we're under the influence of the internal potency. That's shanti. That's blessing. That's real position of transcendental peace and happiness. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? Questions? Yes.
When you were describing the story about Srila Prabhupada in the train and what occurred there, it reminded me of a little incident in the subway system in Toronto last summer. Yeah, Toronto has a nice subway system. Okay. And I'm just, you know, minding my own business, chanting my japa, and I could see in the glass the reflection. A tall Indian man came towards me, and he was just parked himself just behind my right side, and he said, "Are you Swamiji?" And I knew what he wanted. I said, "I'm Vaishnava." Like in a second, he just retreated into the crowd. I didn't even see him leave, because he was going to ask for some kind of blessing. I didn't want to go there. I just wanted to mention that.
Hare Krishna. Okay.
Marj, very nice class. I was a little confused of the setting there. It seemed to, my recollection, correct me if I'm wrong, is that in the Krishna book, Rohini's not in the same palace.
There. No.
Yeah, so isn't it a little...
She's the care of Nanda and Jasoda. So she wasn't in the house. It doesn't say that she was in the house.
Okay, it's just...
Everyone in the house lamented, and she was over there with the child that was transferred to her womb.
Okay, so just the news of what happened,
they
were reflecting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, thank you for your lecture. I have a question. Is there a difference between the difficulties that Krishna arranges for us and the difficulties that affect the living beings like Adi Atmika, Adi Bhautika,
yes,
and Adi Daivika?
It's a world of difference. It's a difference between night and day.
And how do we distinguish between those if it affects us?
How much are you actively taking shelter of Krishna? That's the barometer. And the barometer of that is, how do you respond when you see those difficulties? In principle, because we're engaged in Krishna's service, where it's the care of, we're under the care of the internal potency, there's qualifiers. There's degrees of that, you know. There's language that Prabhupada regularly uses, proportionate to one's surrender unto Krishna. There's, you know, yayatam mam prapadyante. So we can be very actively, consciously, deliberately, enthusiastically taking shelter of Krishna. And then we can, you know, take a vacation. There's no vacation because you're controlled or you're controlled. One lecture that Prabhupada was giving in New York, it was very strong impression. He said that you're, one moment you can be taking shelter of Krishna, but it's not that you then have to invite Maya if you want to be engaged in material activity. As soon as there's some slackening in one's submission unto Krishna, immediately Maya is there. So it can be vacillating or oscillating situation where I'm submitting consciously unto Krishna. And it's like, oh, pick up your bead bag and start chanting and watch what happens. You know, it's an active process, and that brings us in contact with the internal potency.
Thank you.
Okay.
Maharaj, how would you explain after 20 or 30 years of continuously striving to surrender to Krishna, still one finds that one's consciousness isn't completely surrendered? What is the mistake in that?
This is a common question. It's a nice question. And, you know, the simple answer, it can have a whole like seminar on this one, but a simple answer is, you know the example of the marriage party, and they're rowing all night, but the anchor is in and they don't go anywhere? It's like that. If one holds on to material attachments while striving to go forward in Krishna consciousness, progress is limited. There has to be, just like, oh, you weren't there, just like Mahatattva's opening presentation, the first part that was at the beginning of his opening presentation, is there has to be willingness to let go of the idea or the striving for finding happiness by contacting the senses with sense objects. Just the principle. If we can be engaging in devotional service and it remains external, we're holding on to, this is going to bring material happiness is senses, contact, sense object. And if I hold on to that expectation, the potency is there in devotional service to take shelter of something else. But if I don't let go, Krishna doesn't force it. He doesn't force your hand open. You have to let go willfully.
But then when you do let go, a lot of times you see that Krishna brings more reversals. So when you do fully surrender, fully pray for complete and total absorption, then that's when Krishna will bring the devotee more reversals.
Yeah, because Krishna is reciprocating with your prayer, but he's not intruding in your free will space. He reciprocates with your prayer. And commonly what I see is when Krishna starts taking things out of your hand because you asked him to, not you, but persons start complaining and whining. No, not that. Because we have our terms. That wasn't part of our terms. We actually wanted to hold on to something, although we're saying the other. So therefore it's gradual. Take the microphone and bring it over here while I just finish. Over here. Prabhupada was asked by a reporter, Swamiji, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? Right away, Prabhupada said, less than a second. Then he said, in that less than a second, two things must happen. One is, one needs to let go of the expectation of happiness through sense gratification. And the other is one must give up mental speculation, acquiring knowledge through mental speculation. Generally, people are very attached to these two things, and therefore the process commonly is gradual. But then he went back. that actually takes less than a second. So that addresses your question. It can take less than a second, or it can take longer than 20 years, or many lifetimes. There's a willingness, the taking, it's on the one hand taking shelter, and the other hand letting go. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. And they're both stated, not just one. You have to let go. Supposing these are your children? Okay. So when he was probably smaller, because now he's like intelligent and wide alert, and but when a small child is holding on to something, and the mother understands that something is dangerous, a piece of broken glass or something, and you try to take that from the child's hand, what happens? But you take, this is Prabhupada's example, you take something glittery, shiny, rattly, something, the jaw opens and the hand opens and they take, you know, you have to let go of something in order to take another something. So while I'm saying I want to, you know, take full shelter of Krishna, if I'm holding on to something, I'm not going to take full shelter of Krishna. Because we're attached. So we need association of devotees who understand the principle of detachment. They understand us, and they help us grow in shelter taking and letting go. And it's okay. Like, you know, we're not nowhere. That was Arjuna's concern. What if I start and I don't finish? Then I'm nowhere. I'm neither here nor there. Therefore, this relevance of this passage that I read from 241 Bhagavad Gita, there's nothing lost. It's permanent. But that takes faith, and that takes shelter, and it takes letting go. Last question.
In the beginning, you talked about culture. Mm. And human life is not biological. Dharmahinena pashubhisamana. So we've come in our Western culture, we've been given this amazing Sanatan Dharma. And can you speak about the importance of adding Dharma to that, adding culture, adding training? What is it important, or do we just become devotees and then that's it?
Well, the last comment that I just made was on that point. Through culture means, you know, the features of persons. It's not like I'm looking at this photograph of the little arch over here and Prabhupada Samadhi over here and the temple, Krishna Balaram temple in the background. And so that's architecture. That's a dimension of culture. But behind that architecture, there's the architect and there's the inspiration to think of Krishna when you see certain architecture and think other things when you see other things. Here's another Prabhupada story. One time, one of the places that Prabhupada liked to walk was in Central Park. So one time we went to the east side, just above 72nd Street, and there's this pond, or lake, and around it's a storytelling lake where they have statues of, you know, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow and this one's and that one with it. You know, parents bring groups of children and they sit down and they read a story that Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote beneath his, you know, and Charles Dickens and this one, that one. So we're walking around and Prabhupada was making remarks. And then he pointed with his cane and said, "What's up there?" and just started walking. So we started going north. We're going, like, there's a little trail and went through all these trees. And all of a sudden we came to a big clearing and there was this sculpture, modern art, the Museum of Modern Art. The sculpture of this twisted metal and distorted, you know, amorphous glob of steel. Prabhupada pointed his cane and said, "This is the mind of the modern artist." They're calling this, and they're calling this culture. So culture means the consciousness of the persons with whom we associate, and that's what training is. It's not only the words, it's the association that helps us detach and attach. So there are forms of that, but the essence is attachment to Krishna. So through association with those who are attached to Krishna, we can become detached from matter and attached to Krishna. We need that association, that culture, that training. We need the essence, not just the form. And we want the real essence, the real substance, the real thing. Okay, I'll end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.